Very good. Well, it's tremendous to be here today and to see all of you. And greetings from San Antonio. And there we go. So what do I do? Which one do I use here? Either way, huh? I'll just do this. This works. I'm sticking with it. There we go. No, it's great to – I love your city. And it's just it's a beautiful town and just a wonderful – it's a wonderful group. Great to get to know all of you, begin to get to know you. Anyway, we're in San Antonio, and Emergy and I, we were the leaders of the church there for 21 years, and we retired. And so now we're in – we worship – there's a region that's in a town called New Braunfels. And so it's up I-35 – toward Austin. And so we worship in New Braunfels in the Northeast region. It's a little bit bigger than this group, but this feels like home to me. So this is about like what we experience on a Sunday morning, about 135 people. And so, kind of parallel, similar stuff going on. But I appreciate all the great news I hear and the, just, it seems like, there's so much good. Oh, I think I just, there we go. I'll leave it like that. Anyway, appreciate all the vibe and the, great job on the worship and, tremendous. Good to remember Brian Craig, a wonderful brother and, man, rest in peace, Brian. We're all coming towards you. So we'll all be there. We'll all end up there. So, I just want to, I'm going to share, I'm doing the sermon, and we're going to talk about, is Jesus your teacher or your Lord? And that's going to be the topic. Let me say a prayer. We'll jump right in. Holy Father, thank you for today, and thank you for your word. And I pray, Father, that you'll bless our time together. I want to ask, Father, that you will fill me with your spirit. And I do pray, Father, that every word I speak will be exactly what you once said, and help us all to hear your word being spoken, Father, and help us to learn about more about you and to draw closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. 1981 was a big year for me. Not sure where you were. Not sure if you were. But 1981 was a big year. Got engaged, married, baptized, and graduated from Abilene Christian. So that's a big year, and I'll never match that one again. So that was great. But I became a Christian on April 17th, 1981 in Abilene. And so 43 years later, it's wonderful. And now my wife, of course, we've been married for 43 years. And, but we've known each other since 1966, believe it or not. I was 7 and she was 4. And we were attending in Virginia, a church, and Ambrosite's family moved in. And so I've known Ambrosite, 2 years from now, it'll be our 60th friendship anniversary there. How about that? And honey, I won the lottery. So, yeah. And after you get to know us, you'll be saying like, oh yeah, we like Mike. We love Ambrosite. Yeah. So, and my weird name, it's the story of my life is, I know it's spelled Taliaferro, but it's pronounced Tolliver. And next time you have 3 minutes you want to waste, I'll tell you the story. But anyway, that's just the way it is. So anyway, so we're excited. Yeah, we lived in Brazil and we lived in Africa for 14 years, and then have been in San Antonio for 21, and we're on our 7th church planting. So I think New Braunfels is slated to become a church here. That's why we sent all those people up over the years. So we're on our 7th church planting, and it's exciting. And I feel like these are good old days right here in Wichita. I just think, man, this is a really tremendous thing. The Hendersons are very happy and appreciate all of y'all. And do y'all say y'all up here in? Okay, good. And so is everybody like a Kansas City Chiefs fan? Is there like any Cowboy fans? Got a few. Okay. Broncos. Broncos. How about the I don't care crowd? There we go. Yeah, that's a lot. Okay. Any Spurs fans? Okay. More Dallas Mavs. Oh, more, Denver, whatever they are. Yeah. Pittsburgh. Okay. All right. Well, the thing is, living in Wichita, you can root for whoever you want to, right? There we go. Okay. In Matthew 26, let's read in Matthew 26. At the Last Supper, when evening came, in verse 20, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." Jesus said, "You have said so." You know the value of one communion talk. Mike Kodadita was an elder in the Johannesburg, South Africa church, and he just mentioned this in the communion talk one day. He said, "You notice how all the apostles called Jesus Lord, but Judas called him teacher." And I thought, that was an interesting comment that he made, but it led to a lot of Bible study. You know, I revisit that topic over the years. Judas called him teacher, and he's the one who would betray him. And when he betrayed him in the garden, you remember what he said to Jesus? He said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. When he betrayed him and handed him over to the soldiers, it was with "Greetings, Rabbi, teacher," and with a kiss, and he betrayed him. And you know, teacher or Lord, what is Jesus to you? I'm getting over something that I had before I got here, and so hopefully my voice will last. When he's your teacher, you may be close to the kingdom of God, or you may be far, but that's not what he's asking to be or actually commanding us to be in our lives. He calls us to make him his Lord, our Lord. And if Jesus is either the Lord of all or he's not the Lord at all in your life. And that's a big one, I think, for a lot of people. And I think we always want to put Jesus in the teacher box. We don't want to put him in the Lord box. Because once you put him in the Lord box, then it's time to obey. You know, it's not just that. Remember the conversation. It wasn't just teacher, but it was also, okay, prophet. People were always trying to put Jesus in a box. Who do people say the Son of Man is? And what did they reply? Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. What about you? Who do you say I am? You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah." My mom was a teacher. I have deep respect for teachers. Do we have any teachers here today? You guys are awesome. You have a lifelong impact. My mom was a teacher. My brother was a teacher and administrator. There's some teachers that have really affected me. Probably my favorite teacher all through school years was Mr. Wyatt, my American history teacher in 11th grade. He was fascinating. I don't know how he did it, but he was a very interesting teacher. And I was sat spellbound during American history all during 11th grade. He was fantastic. But he's just a teacher, all right? I don't make life decisions. Oh, that's, you read my mind. I don't make life decisions based on what Mr. Wyatt thinks I ought to do. I mean, nor do I feel like I'll suffer eternally if I don't follow Mr. Wyatt's advice. No, being Lord is a lot different than being teacher. And Jesus as your Lord, that's something. We want to put Jesus in the good teacher box because it's comfortable. It's convenient. It's easy. It's up there with advice we read online. It's a good idea. It's a popular philosophy. It's a cool thing, perhaps. That's a lot different than Jesus being your Lord, okay? And I think it's a common practice today, as a lot of folks want to have a feel-good discipleship. It's all about me, and yet it's about Jesus. And so him being Lord. I know that in America, the practice is the police gets behind you, turns on his lights, and you pull over, okay? In South Africa, what they do is they just step out on the street and put their hand up. And they're armed, they're serious, and you pull over. That's what it's like. And this view is in my mind. And, you know, I got pulled over, and they'd be checking on the highway, and, you know, and they're just pulling everybody over or pull you over like this. But it's not an option. They'll come after you, armed. You know what I mean? If you don't pull over, you got to pull over, okay? And it's not a suggestion. It's not an idea. It's just, that's just, oh, okay. And I think sometimes we can, as we've been around for a long time, as young Christians, that's very simple for us. We're so excited. Jesus is Lord. It's awesome. But as the years go by, what we can do, and you ask yourself, is this something you have in your life at times? We can get into a disciple's rut where it's like, yeah, I go to church and I'm friendly and I contribute, but that's about it, okay? And, you know, I don't know, man. I've been around a long time and I'm kind of tired and I'm not into this sharing my faith stuff and I'm not necessarily going to work out my attitudes with somebody or I'm just not going, don't bring me there, but I will attend and I will give. And you can get in this rut and you would agree with all the other teaching, but I'm not practicing it right now. And that's just kind of where I am. And you can even say that with sort of a tone of voice. That's like where I am. You understand what I mean? Oh, yeah. Why don't you talk to him? I don't think I will, you know. And so what we want to make sure is that we don't get into that rut. You know, love your enemies. Practice hospitality. That's not a suggestion. That's something we need to be doing. And we don't need to beat ourselves up. I mean, in the sense that it's, you can't just do everything. And only Jesus was perfect. But we want to be doing the best we can. And thank God for his grace and thank God for his forgiveness and thank God that his blood washes away our sin and he embraces us and loves us. And that's a beautiful, wonderful thing. But we do want to make sure that he's our Lord and not just a teacher. In the Gospels, if you'll notice, some of the worst characters, it's not a movie, but you want to say some of the bad guys, a lot of them, they called him teacher. It was the Pharisees and the Herodians. What'd they say? Teacher, should we pay taxes to Caesar? The Sadducees came and teacher, a woman was married to seven brothers, and then so in heaven, or who's she gonna be married to? Lastly, a teacher of the law. Teacher, what's the greatest commandment in Matthew 22? Teacher, 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 all from people who weren't about to follow him. People called him teacher who hung him on the cross. That's not a great accomplishment. Okay? So, when especially does this come home for all of us? I think about the storms. In Mark, hey, let me ask, how many have, and there's no right answer here. How many have a paper Bible? And how many are reading on your phone today? Oh, okay. The phones have it. All right. I went to Bible talk and for the first time, I'm like, I'm the only guy there with a paper Bible. And honestly, it was because I was leading the Bible talk. I thought, I want to have this Bible. Anyway, it's funny how times change. I believe the apostles are fine with electronic. Yeah. No problem. All right. Mark chapter 4. You remember the story? Jesus is in the stern. If you can look at Mark chapter 4, Jesus sleeping in the stern of the boat during a storm. All right. Mark 4:38. And the disciples in the storm, they get afraid and they wake him up. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? There's that word again. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? And you know, they almost seem irritated with him in this story. They seem like, what are you doing, carpenter? Wake up. We're in a boat here. This is dangerous. It's a storm. And they're complaining about how he's not helping. And he gets up and he rebukes the waves. And they say, wow, who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. They haven't figured it out yet. He was in the teacher box, but he just got up and rebuked the waves and everything became calm. You know, it's important to trust him in the storms. If he's your teacher, you can go, yeah, I know what the Bible says about don't be anxious about anything, but I mean, this is really whatever. If he's your Lord, it's a little different. You can trust more. You know that he's in control. You can give it to him more. In the middle of disappointments, in the middle of trials, in the middle of you know, when things are bad in our marriage or things are bad in your finances or when you lose your job, during those difficult situations, he's not just somebody offering wise sayings. He's your Lord and he loves you and he's ready to calm those waves. Trust him. Trust him. He's not just a YouTube influencer. He's active in your life. He's active in your life. Who is this, they said. They still had to figure it out. So then in Mark chapter 5, when Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house, you remember this in Mark 5:38? And they're walking and they're on their way to Jairus' house. And the people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. And what did they say to Jesus? You remember? Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Look, this is out of his league. She's died. Okay? This is out of Jesus' league. Don't bother with this guy anymore. But Jesus says, have faith, just believe. And he raises the dead. I mean, it's an amazing passage. But to me, teachers are limited, but the Lord is amazing. And the Lord wants to work in your life. That's the Lord that wants to work in your life. God wants you. Jesus wants you to bring the outlandish, to bring the faithful, beyond what you can ask or imagine, Jesus wants to do in your life, in your Bible talk, in your family, the impact of this church here in Wichita. Well, we can imagine a lot. He can imagine more. And you bring all that to God and you lay that before Jesus. That's when he's your Lord. Then you can trust him and you can lay the outlandish request in front of him. And later on in Matthew 14, they're out on the sea again. They're out on the water. And this time it's different. And they're buffeted by the waves, not technically a storm, but sort of like you guys have a lot here, the wind was howling, okay? The wind is howling, the waves are buffeting the boat, but this time Peter said, Lord, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you. And Peter gets out of the boat. Imagine this moment. He takes his foot out of the boat and he steps on the water and he walks toward Jesus. It's amazing. Why did he do that? Because Jesus was his Lord. And he was, that's amazing. Somebody wrote a book, if you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. That's a great point. You've got to risk it if you want the biscuit, okay? In Christ, we don't have to play it safe all the time. We don't play it, nor did the apostles play it safe. They risked it by faith. They stepped out on faith. And those who were in the boat worshiped Jesus. And what did they say this time? Truly, you are the Son of God. They didn't say, who is this? They said, truly, you are the Son of God. They did not call him teacher that day. Because when he's your Lord, you're going to be confident. You're going to be less afraid. You're going to get out of the boat. Now, one boat that I had to get out of was when I became a Christian, as I was studying the Bible, I was very concerned about what people thought. I thought I had some really nice friends. I thought they were pretty cool. I thought, man, I don't know. This is really not cool to be a Christian. And how am I going to handle that? And in fact, for a while, I kind of tried to live a double life where I just, you know, I'd go to church, but I might go out to the bar that night and stay out till 1 o'clock, carousing with my friends. But eventually I had to make a decision. And I had to go, no, this is who I am. And I began on, and I remember one of my friends, he said, Mike is like reading the Bible and going to church. And Vic said, I thought Mike was normal. 43 years later. Whereas on the one hand, maybe some of my friends experienced a lot of heartbreak, a lot of substance abuse, a lot of divorce, and a lot of issues in life. And I look and I go, okay, maybe I'm not normal in Vic's eyes, but I'm loving life. And I'll take this any day. Because life in Jesus is a beautiful thing. And it ain't always easy. In fact, sometimes it's harder because we follow Jesus. But I'm telling you what, if that's normal, I'll take weird any day of the, I'll take it any day. And you know, as I got to, I'll tell you what really helped me to become a Christian was because what I realized was, you know, Mike, you're afraid of what are people going to think if you make a decision to follow Jesus. But then I began to hang around with guys who weren't afraid. And I began to see, you know, that's really cool. That's true cool right there. These guys know what they believe. They're not afraid to practice it. And they're not putting on a face to make people happy or stay accepted. And I thought, that's truly cool. And I found in my life, 43 years, that Jesus always, it's not, a, you know, I felt one of the most exciting things about Christianity is it's constantly working on your character. It's constantly working on you to be a better person. And I think a lot of the joy that flows out of this fountain of life that Jesus pours into our hearts, that the Holy Spirit does, is you're growing in areas like honesty and conviction, and you're growing in areas of integrity and righteousness. And it blesses you in so many ways. It blesses you. And just the way that Jesus is constantly shaping like clay, molding your character in your life, it's a beautiful thing. So, God bless you, Vic. I love you, man. But I'm so glad I made that decision. I'm so glad I plucked up the courage to obey him and do what was right. Because he's my Lord. And I moved him out of the teacher box and I put him into the Lord box in April of 1981. And I never looked back. And if you're in the middle of that same decision, I just want to tell you, I've been on both sides of the fence, man. Can't wait to see you make your decision. You will be happy about it. Okay? Anybody want to amen that?
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Okay. The ayes have it. All right. Another area where we want to make sure it's not just in the storms, not just trust. I was talking about trust, but another area is sacrifice. This really affects sacrifice because just then in Mark 10:17, just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, good teacher. And that's where you go, what's he about to say here? Good teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? And Jesus begins to list off the commands and he says, teacher, all these I've kept since I was a boy. And Jesus looked at him and he said, one thing you lack. And this was a rich guy. He said, you got to take your money and give it to the poor, then come follow me and you'll have treasure in heaven. And he wasn't about to do that. And it's something you never see in America today, but his face fell because he had great wealth. You don't see that very often. Oh, you look down today. Yeah, I'm really wealthy. I'm just so depressed. That's not the American way. But that man realized that day that he was not about to follow what Jesus said. He wasn't going to take Jesus out of the teacher box and that he wasn't going to do what the Lord said to do. And he went away sad because he had great wealth. And you know, this passage is sacrifice. When Jesus, now, I don't believe that everybody, when they get baptized, needs to hand over everything to, first of all, Jesus isn't around. Also, actually, what we're called to do is to manage the finances that we have and to honor him in the way we manage our finances and take care of our family. And it's his money and we want to manage it as he would manage it. Do what Jesus would do. But that kind of sacrifice, that's not just teaching. That's a command. And we want to live that way. I appreciate Jeff's communion talk. And I hope that all of us will truly worship God with the way that we handle our finances because he is our Lord and not our teacher. You know, I think there's times where this, when this comes into play. I mentioned when we become a Christian. I think when we resolve a relationship, it's so important to have the courage to resolve a relationship. That'll take humility. That'll take patience and honesty. But to have that kind of courage to go, yeah, I do feel a little bit uncomfortable. You know, I haven't been here long, but, you know, Jason kind of, I don't know, whatever. I need to go and talk to Jason and not talk about Jason because any moral midget can talk about people, but it takes a true hero. True integrity is to go and talk to people and to say, you know, hey, Jason, you know, whatever. And I have nothing against Jason. Jason is fantastic. But you guys know what I'm talking about. To have that courage to go and talk to your boss and say, listen, I keep having to miss church services because of my job. I'd like to be free so that I can go. I would like to be able to attend, to be able to have the courage to approach that. And that may take time, and that may take a few whatever, but to have the courage to say, look, I really want to put the kingdom first in my life, and I really, so I want to fix this. And you know, I know in Africa, for instance, sometimes, that takes time because, I mean, people are, they're, especially when you're talking about people in Africa, when we were missionaries there, people, they didn't have a lot of money, and yet you want to be really careful because you can't just starve, okay? And so it's like, okay, well, what are the steps we're going to take here to move forward? And so, and you take those steps prayerfully. But that's the same is true for us here in America. What are the steps we can, not something necessarily drastic or dumb, but on the other hand, we want to be a part of the body of Christ. So what can we do? How can we, what decisions can we make so that we can be a part of the body? That's making him Lord. That's making him Lord. You know, I think even just sharing our faith, and I'm not talking about boldly standing up in the synagogue and risking your life as you preach about you put him on the cross. I'm not talking like what we read in the book of Acts sometimes. That was amazing, gutsy evangelism. But come on, this is a friendly part of the country. You can be courteous. I think evangelism is a lot of it just being courteous. It's just sharing your faith. Just going on a walk and stopping and talking to your neighbors, okay? I mean, I lived in New York. I lived in New York for a long time. I did. I lived in New York, and you know, and so people are very friendly. And if you truly are, like, I found the one thing is I need directions. New Yorkers will stop. I want to invite you to church. And, you know, New Yorkers are busy. This is a friendly place. We were walking around Jeff's neighborhood yesterday talking to people. People are friendly. They say hi to you. Yeah, that's a great thing. Let's be courteous. Let's share our faith. Make friends. Make friends with people and love them. You know, every day, I believe, God gives you opportunities to talk with somebody and get a name, another name of a neighbor, you know. I love Mark Ottenwell. We're so good at this. Mark used to go jogging out in his neighborhood. But he would always stop. And the first one was like, Mark, we're supposed to be running here. You're always stopping. But he was always stopping to talk to people. And Mark could get to know everybody in his neighborhood. It's just great. And that's always been a great example to me to just always stop for people and pause. My wife is a great example of that. My wife, I believe, could strike up a conversation with a telephone pole. I'm like, how did she do that? I mean, that was great. She's really good at that, okay? But that's making Jesus Lord. You know, what's the one thing you lack? For me, last year, as the year went on, last year was kind of a pressure-packed year. And my blood sugar began to creep up, and my weight began to creep up, but my blood pressure began to creep up. And creep up is a kind way of saying it got really high, okay? This was bad. So I made some halfway decisions with my health. I got to change. But then I wasn't following through. If you'd have shown me a YouTube thing on the dangers of blood glucose, I'd have amended it. But I didn't change. And as the went through the holidays and got into the spring, and my boys, we have three sons, and they all talk to me. So, like, when the three boys talk to you, it's like, okay, that got my attention. Of course, my wife talked to me. My doctor had talked to me, but I'd blown it off. Sorry, I know we have doctors in the room. I don't mean to offend you, but, you know, I was like, hey, I was agreeing in the office, but I got home, and I'm like, nah, I'm doing what I'm going to eat what I want. I was motivated for, like, 48 hours, but then, nah, I'm going to eat what I want. That's always worked for me, right? And it hadn't. And so, but then when they all talked to me and I realized this is serious, and all of a sudden I'm sitting here and I'm having communion. I was reminded of this today, and I'm having communion in New Braunfels, and I'm thinking, all right, I'm supposed to be the keeper of the body of, you know, the temple of the Lord here. That's my body. It's the temple of the Lord, and it's not in good shape here. I'm not in good shape at all. And I'm like, I'm looking at the bread and I'm going, yeah, I'm doing a lousy job. And I was very moved by it. All right? So I got to work. And I made a decision. Look, and it's not like I'm like, it's not like I'm about to be a YouTube influencer or anything. It's not like, wow, all that. But it was a decision I made. And so a few weeks later, I'm sitting there at church on Sunday, and I'm looking at communion, and I'm going, how many carbs in this wafer? I said, man, I've come a long way. I've come a long way. Yeah, is there sugar in this grape juice? I'm not sure. Well, I'm going to trust the Lord. That's right. I'm going to trust the Lord. And I wonder if some of you can understand what I'm saying. I had loved ones who were trying to talk to me. I had folks who were trying to get through to me. I knew in my heart they were right and I needed to change. But I was dragging my feet, making excuses, hoping nobody would care or notice all that much. Finally, I got serious. Something happened and I got serious and I changed. There's great power in a decision. And I just met all y'all today. So I would say this. I don't know where anybody's at spiritually except a few that we've hung out with. But I would say this. I bet a lot of us can identify. What's the one thing you can identify in your life today and you can go, yeah, I want to make Jesus Lord in this area right now, starting now. No more excuses. No more smoke screens. No more hiding. No more concealing stuff. No more blowing smoke at my friends to get them off my back. But no, I'm going to do what's right and make a decision. Move him out of the teacher box. Put him in the Lord box on the throne where he belongs. And it will bless you forever. Thank you very much. God bless.